Okay, welcome to the next With Just a Hint of Mayhem interview podcast. This time it's with fabulous York band City Snakes, who've been around just a short while, really, compared to me. Far more intelligent musically than me, have some great tunes, fantastic live band, and hopefully you're looking forward to meeting them and hearing something more about them today. So I'm going to start with something relatively simple. Okay, so from left to right, or you can go randomly if you want, guys. Introduce yourself, okay, and then you don't have to say too much about yourself, and describe yourself in three words. Who wants to go first?
Let's go left to right.
Go on. Hello, I'm Hamish. I'm tall, skinny, and pale.
Nice. like it.
I'm Oscar. I'm short and not skinny.
Hi, I'm Matthew. Drummer, short.
Beautiful.
Those at home, such a drive.
I'm Bailey.
We should all just say short, to be honest.
Yeah, we're all pretty short. Yeah. Brown hair. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. All right, so this is open to everyone, really. So, City Snakes, where does the name come from? And did you consider any other names that you're prepared to tell us about?
So, it comes from a random word generator.
Excellent.
I feel like people, if they know that, they'd be quite mad. It was, because it's not like...
Nothing wrong
with
that.
It was sort of like, we thought it was maybe like a placeholder, but we never really got a better name.
No, well, we changed it once for about 2 days, and we all thought, oh, that's well...
We changed it to night shift. And the thing is, I was doing night shifts at the time at Travel Lodge, and I couldn't do it. I was like, guys, I hate these night shifts. Can we please not be called night shifts? Too much of it.
It just feels like night shift's probably been used before. I don't know.
That was the thing.
The good thing about this name was we thought, like, it's easy to shout on stage. Mm. And then also, like, when you search it, we sort of come up first Google, and we've got the domain. And like,
we are actually at top of YouTube now. Mm. Really think it's quoted in National Geographic channel, which catches snakes in cities.
That's pretty cool, to be fair.
We'd take it, yeah.
Well, I've always felt that all the best names are gone and then something comes along. And I don't think City Snakes is a bad name. And I think random word generator, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Have you thought of writing lyrics through a random word generator?
I don't really like the idea.
Bailey wrote one through a chatbot, didn't you?
Yeah, we didn't use it though.
No, because it was mortifying. It was horrible.
ChatGPT. We've never actually used that inside.
So go on.
I just used that to choose some job applications, you know.
Personal statement was done on ChatGPT.
Brilliant. So how long have you been together as a band?
Since July 2021, so like...
Yeah.
Almost a year and a half,
Yeah, year and a half.
I'm glad you remember that, because I was like searching my brain, then I was like, I was in college.
Well, I was speaking briefly to Bailey earlier on, and I said the first time I remember seeing you guys was probably at the Fulford Arms.
Probably.
And you had an awful lot of, and I kind of assumed it was college or school friends. We had written the band's name all over their bodies and that. And that's something I've not seen before. I mean, you know, ultimately, maybe in 10 years, I'll have City Snakes tattoos, but, you know, that's to come, I'm sure. So,
we did get those, I'm sure, number two, though. We did get the Snakes tattoos. We did get them. They didn't happen.
If we're still going in 10 years, I'll get City Snakes tattooed on me. I don't really care.
Were you kind of were you all in bands at school, or you know, what brought you into music?
I was in the school band, but that's just because I kind of had to be. Matthew was, because we went to the same primary school.
Yeah, we were in like different bands at school, but like I was never in any bands till this one, but you were in a few.
I was in the four or five of them whilst I was at Millfall.
Here we go.
I've been quite busy, this kind of like starting up failing. It's like, yeah, I've been doing it for a while, so I think the first one I was in, I was actually the bassist for the first band I was in. I did some very, very simple, like proper, like single note.
I wanted to be in a band, but like I lived in a village and like I didn't know anyone, so I used to just like make music myself.
I wanted to be in a band when I was young, but I couldn't play an instrument and I couldn't sing, so I didn't. So in terms of some music. So obviously you're very into music. You make some great tunes, and I think live you're a real force live, and I think that's brilliant to see. And it always looks like you're enjoying yourself on stage.
That's so fun.
And I think for me, if you look at a band and think they look really miserable, then why am I sticking around watching them? You know? If the band's enjoying it, for me, the audience has got to enjoy it. You know, even if it's not your kind of music, you know, if you like music, and the band's enjoying it, I think you will
keep the drive.
I think we have the ethic that we're there for people. People aren't there for us. So if you're not giving off like good energy, I don't really see the point.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's absolutely spot on. I think that's the way bands should be.
I'm just saying, you say that, but if you see a band which is everybody in the band looks like they're losers, you know it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
That's a rule of thumb, though. If every member of that band looks like they have zero friends, they're going to be a great band. It's going to be some sort of
like Radiohead.
All of them are complete losers, but there you go. So,
I've always felt that about Radiohead. I love them.
Radiohead's great, yeah.
Yeah. But Tom York looks like he didn't have loads of friends at school, don't you think?
Yeah. It does give off that impression.
I've heard that's
he's
true.
A bit of a vibe vampire, isn't he?
Yeah. I think sucks all the energy out of everyone.
I think I might have to use that in a review somewhere. Not about you guys. So, in terms of, I've just brought up Radiohead, and I'm not comparing you to Radiohead because I think there's a lot of comparisons you could have. So, what are your kind of musical influences? Your favourite bands, don't feel guilty if it's Britney Spears or Dua Lipa.
I'd
say me and Hamish have the most similar music taste. We sort of listen to Inhaler. I really like Sam Fender, Wombats, Caption the Bottom Man,
there's a lot of British 2000 indie rock coming through. Yeah. Lion, there's a bit of 70s rock as well, but a lot of it's still British indie 2000s.
Oscar's very much got the most unique.
Very much classic rock. I love it, Kiss, Fleetwood Mac, all classic. I really like Kansas and people like that.
Matthew likes one song, so he really likes.
That's true. That's
really like Street Spirit by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But you like Muse,
Muse, Royal Blood. Catfish I like. I don't know too many Catfish songs, but I'm just getting into them.
But the thing is, we all kind of feed off each other's influences. I've never listened to Radiohead, Muse, before I met these guys. And I'm sure they weren't getting incessantly bothered with, have you heard the song from 1960?
Yeah,
that is true.
That's not good.
Bye-bye, Catfish.
So in terms of the 70s rock you mentioned, and you mentioned kind of Fleetwood Mac and Kiss and everything, is that from parents or grandparents or something?
Yeah.
Or is it just...
My parents, my dad, he's always having, I've met this band, met that band, my sister's boyfriend was the roadie for this band. He's met everyone. Tony Hadley, he's met Swade, he's met all these different people.
I need to interview your dad.
Honestly, yeah. And his record collection, it's like a whole sort of floor-to-ceiling shelf in my house just full of his records and stuff. So he's always got music on. And then my mum, when I was 16, she'd be cleaning the house or whatever, blasting music really loud. I'm like, that's great. So I was like David Bowie or something like that. Yeah, I've got a lot of music in my family. But your dad hates music, doesn't he?
Yeah, my family were very much my dad really likes music, but my mum has hearing aids, so she always was
it must be difficult though.
It was quite tricky, so I only really found music myself so about 14 15. We weren't I can't really think of any times just music. I remember liking Britney Spears. My dad showed me Britney Spears when I was four, like you said. But
I always felt it doesn't matter what your route into music is. And that's what I think. I had this conversation a few months back with someone and about what's your guilty pleasure, and we both said, well, why should it be guilty pleasure? I've moved on. I did have that view that certain songs were a guilty pleasure. There's a Ronan Keating song I love, and I never wanted to admit to it, but I do now. It's kind of it's fine. And I think, was it the Kings of Leon who, obviously brought up in a very strange environment, kind of almost Christian fundamentalist, I think, or some strange kind of religious thing. And they didn't listen to any music, and eventually they were able to listen to radio. And it was like Beach Boys and current rock and everything. And you kind of listen to them, and I've seen them live a few times. and you think, just wow, you know, it's like, you know, so they've not listened to anything as kids, and suddenly that comes up. So you've made a few recordings so far. Which one of those are you most proud of?
I'd probably say Black and White.
We have a few unreleased ones though.
I'm not sure I can say that on this podcast, can I?
Well, that's entirely up to the rest of the band, you know.
Go for it. We play live, so
yeah, I'm quite happy with Turbo Legend. That will be coming in the near future. I'm just going to do this and
is it going to have the same title in the near future, or are you going to change it?
Yeah, definitely have that title. Sometimes like I'll write a song and it'll just be like, I know this is the title. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Some titles are known to change.
So, are you thinking of releasing anything kind of from a physical perspective in terms of like vinyl?
Yeah,
or
we'd love
CD
to.
Or whatever.
We've just got like no money.
It's pretty spendy, and we've got zero.
I understand.
I bought a CD burner the other day, so they're not going to be like anything fancy. We're probably going to write some like Sharpie on it. Which is
home release.
So we'll be like home release.
CDs. There's a band from where I grew up, and the only reason I kind of followed them was because I went to school with one of their dads. Colour Me Wednesday, they're called. I don't think they're around anymore, and they're a bit kind of feminist political, but all of their CDs were kind of, they made handmade. The covers were handmade and everything. I've got about four of them at home. It's just brilliant. It's kind of, you know, that kind of thing for me is absolutely fine, and it shows people put the effort in.
I think that's our avenue, because we're looking at printing them, like,
throwback to our broken Victoria Vault CDs. Shout out to anybody out there who's got them, I'm sorry if only one side works.
Half of them were like DVDs.
just wouldn't work, so we just tried putting them in and I'm glad I didn't get one then.
But hopefully these ones, you can have one once
for about 20% one side works, the majority know both sides don't.
It would be nice to buy CDs, wouldn't it? But like, we literally played like a gig in Leeds the other day, and there was like quite a lot of people there. It was like few hundred. We got paid £4.
I actually adopted advertising on the blog. Right, because it's also on WordPress. You can go for WordPress ads, and I thought, might as well do it.
Get a bit of extra cash flow.
Well, you don't actually, because I've been doing it for about 4 years, and I've now got in the bank $15. They don't pay out until you reach 100.
I hate when they do that. I used to live stream.
Hope I live. You know, I'm going to leave someone $100 in me will or something like that.
In about 60 years, mate, you'll get that, and you'll be like, cheers,
Uncle. Reading it, everyone was like, it only got to 98.
So, I mean, on that basis, I mean, you may well end up with enough songs to produce an album, which you may well produce on your CD burner.
We've got a lot of songs.
We've got a lot.
That's about three albums, yeah?
Yeah, we've got a lot. Look,
it's
just
the recording part, like, we need to catch up with.
Well, we thought, I've always been under the idea of, like, if we want to release an album, we have to be ready for it. So I want to be at the point where we're, like, the goal is to get to, like, playing, like, academies on a tour, have some sort of thing going, and then drop an album.
Yeah.
So, because otherwise, I really don't think anyone's going to listen to a full album if you don't have the audience for it. So I've always thought, if we just write loads of songs, we're obviously going to end up writing some good ones. And then when anyone comes to us, it's like, what have you got? We've got all these songs, and like, it's been a no-brainer.
I think I like the idea of that, because I think if you can build up a following first and then hit them with an album, I think that works really well.
I think like EPs and stuff first kind of like warm everyone up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If people have like a solid thing to listen to, and then dropping your album.
It'll just cost you more to make the album than you have to make back of it. It's not worth it.
No, and I think that's why you need to be in a position where maybe you've got a big following.
I always thought like, want the music to like reach people and actually mean something. I don't think it would actually really reach anyone if we were to like release an album anytime soon.
The thing is, I always read interviews and stuff of old bands, like I think it was like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So like, it's so much harder today to get started. It's like back in the 60s, 70s, whatever, you know, if you had a good demo, they'd give you a recording contract.
Yeah.
Because that's literally it. And like, tours were just to promote album sales, whereas now, you know, you stream everything, you download everything, so you're not making any money off that. Spotify, Apple Music, take it all.
Yeah.
And you know, there's like thousands and thousands of bands every day sending labels. Oh, this is my demo, this is my demo. That's not special anymore, so it's much harder to do it.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going on your own, like doing it yourself. Mm. You know, it's really hard to just get your foot in the door, I think.
I mean, the album is basically just an advert now. It's not the product, it's the
advert. Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's again, the scene, again, if you go back to your 60s, 70s, the scene is the smaller too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing any boys band, you've got three session players you use. You use Peter Green, you use Mick Taylor, or you use Danny Kerwin.
Yeah.
And they're all being shared their entire
life. He definitely knows his classic rock.
Oh, yeah. This one's like a Wikipedia. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You go to them or anything.
All
like,
for me, it's just like really, really Fleetwood Mac. So,
yeah.
I think the earliest memory is like Chippin' Music, Green Man Alicia.
Yeah, that's a brilliant tune. Yeah.
The thing is, it's actually Danny Kerwin on lead guitar, not Peter Green on that song. Yeah. If you check the credits, Peter Green hasn't actually got a guitar credit on that song at all. It just says Peter Green vocals. Ooh. Danny Kerwin plays in it, apparently.
And Fleetwood Mac were just something so different when the end of the Peter Green period and whatever, and it was just, they weren't the same band. I mean,
and they continue, it's got better still.
Yeah.
It's still just, it's always been great at all eras. So, they kicked Lindsay, but
So you've, I know you played a lot in York. You played in Leeds as well, you said.
Yeah,
we played all.
And you played in London recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
How did that go?
London's been really good.
Where did you play in London?
So we've played Fiddler's Album.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But now loads of people buy them. I'm like, can we have a t-shirt, please? Like, of course you can, fella.
Nothing wrong with your mum doing that kind of stuff.
I made myself a City Snakes headband out of a pair of old trousers, so.
Have you washed them first?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I mean, when I did cut it, lots of dust came out of the fabric. Now I'm very, very old trousers.
There's plenty of air quotes going up here right now.
I think I'm my dad's, actually.
Where's my jeans? Do you know? Have you seen them?
What's that round your head?
Found it.
My jeans are here, but it appears to be missing a piece of
leg. Stripe missing. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Okay, so check these guys out. Check them out on Spotify and many other places. If you've arrived at this podcast, you'll know that you'll have found the links on the accompanying post anyway. So this is a band to watch out for. Hopefully you'll watch them and go and see them at the Dublin Castle and many, many other venues across the country or even across the world eventually. So City Snakes, why wait that long?
Reading Fest 2024.
Come
and see us at the Crescent on the 6th of April. That'd be great. 2 days after.
Excellent.
A bit more local for that. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you giving your time.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again. Maybe on the 6th of April. I'm not sure. I can make that one. If I can, I'll be there.
Lovely.
Take care, guys. See ya.
See you later. Thank you.
If you've really enjoyed this podcast interview, you can find us in many places. You can find the main site, which is with just a hint of mayhem.blog. You can find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/withjustahintofmayhem. You can find us on Twitter, and we are @ahintofmayhem. Email withjustahintofmayhem@gmail.com. And we're now on Instagram as well, and that's with just a hint of mayhem. Not on TikTok yet. Maybe that will come, but I don't think I'm TikTok ready. We don't do snail mail, but you can contact us, as I've said, in many, many places. Look forward to hearing from you and your comments about the latest recording. Thank you.